Thanks for listening to iTruths, the teaching ministry of Fellowship Bible Church of Texarkana, Texas. I'm Richard Hornock, the senior pastor of Fellowship Bible Church, and the following is a message that I delivered during one of our Sunday morning worship services. I trust it will be beneficial to your walk with Jesus Christ. Thanks again.
If you would, take your Bible and turn with me to Proverbs chapter 1. Proverbs chapter 1. Someone has said that we make decisions, and then those decisions make us. I am still amazed at the decision I made 37 years ago or so. To go to church on a Sunday night. I had been attending another church, and it was the first Sunday of my second semester at Dallas Seminary, and I had been to this other church that morning, and then that Sunday night, or that Sunday afternoon, a friend of mine said, "Hey, would you like to go to church with me?" And I said, "Oh, where do you go?" And he says, "Oh, I go to Grace Bible Church." He told me a little bit about it, and I said, "Yeah, sure, I'll go." Went there that night, and sat right in front of the people that were going to become my in-laws. They did a little standing greet. I shook their hands, and I noticed he had a beard and she had an accent. And I also learned that they had a daughter. And that daughter was getting ready to graduate from Baylor University, and I really ought to come back next week and meet her. And, I thought, well, okay. So the next week I came back, and I was hanging around the free coffee. I was still in school. Free coffee is always good. And I saw the lady with the accent. And the only thing I could remember about her, besides the fact that she had an accent, was she had a daughter. And I said, "Oh, hey, when's your daughter coming to town?" And so she said, "Oh, she's here." So I met Vicky. We got engaged later that afternoon. We got married on Saturday. And, it's been bliss ever since, One decision, So be careful which church you go to and if they do that standing greet. But no, best decision I ever made was the decision to go to a different church that night. We make decisions and then our decisions make us. A long, long time ago, Vicky and I had some acquaintances that were missionaries in the Philippines. And these people had a unique ministry. And what their ministry was that they actually were seeking to evangelize servicemen and servicewomen who were stationed overseas. In fact, they worked, ministered under the auspices of a ministry called Overseas Christian Servicemen Centers. And so they would establish kind of a center where maybe there's a ping pong table, a pool table, some other things going on there, some food. And when the servicemen and the servicewomen had time off, they could come there for some wholesome entertainment. And I remember them describing their location. They were located right outside of the gates of Subic Bay Naval Base in the Philippines. And they said that the gates emptied out onto a main street, and that main street was, it was just filled with all sorts of establishments seeking to get those sailors who now had leave for 24 hours or 48 hours to come on in and take advantage of whatever it was they offered. And you don't have to sit and think it too hard to know what kind of opportunities there were. There was restaurants and bars, of course, strip joints, houses of ill repute. All kinds of women offering their services. I'm sure that probably all kinds of men offering their services, and it was just a gauntlet that these sailors would walk down the middle of that street, and on both sides, people were compelling them to come in. And where the Overseas Christian Servicemen Center was? Right in the middle of it. And just in the same way that all the proprietors would have what is called a barker out there saying, hey, come on in, come on in. We got a great deal. We got a great deal. They would be out there. Hey, come on in. This is, we've got some food. We got some entertainment. We got some stuff. And these decisions, these sailors had to walk down that street trying to make a decision as to how they were going to invest the next 24 hours. And think about it. These are 18 and a half, 19-year-old, 20-year-old kids that had maybe graduated from high school and then gone through the basics, and now they're stationed on the other side of the world, and they're walking down that street. And all kinds of people are compelling them to come in. You know, I tell you that story because in a way, that's a lot like the first 9 chapters of the book of Proverbs. You know, we often think of Proverbs as just kind of this dictionary of great statements. You know, and it's like you'll read through a proverb and it's like, oh, that's a good thought. And then the next thought doesn't seem like it has anything to do with that thought. And then the third thought has nothing to do with the first two. And it's just, you know, it's like reading the dictionary. That's not really true, but it's definitely not true of the first 9 chapters. Now, Proverbs, most of them were written by Solomon. And if you remember who Solomon is, he's the son of David. Solomon was probably the greatest king that ever lived. He certainly was probably the richest king that ever lived. And he, at that time, was overseeing a superpower. There's no way other way to describe it. I mean, they were so dominant and so successful and so rich, and it was mostly due to the wisdom that he had. God had blessed him with incredible wisdom, and so one of the things Solomon did was he wrote a lot of Proverbs. And one of the things he did was he actually wrote a little wisdom handbook for his son, probably Rehoboam, who ultimately became king and fumbled away a lot of stuff. And so Proverbs 1 to 9 actually are like a wisdom manual to Rehoboam. And there is a rhyme and a reason to it. In fact, it's loose, but it's basically the story of 3 young men who are walking down the main street. A main street, kind of like that which is outside Subic Bay Naval. And all kinds of people are calling for their attention. Now, here's the thing that's kind of interesting. There's 3 of them. Look at chapter 1, verse 3, or verse 22. Verse 20 says, "Wisdom shouts in the street." And I'll come back to that in a minute. "Wisdom shouts in the street. She lifts up her voice in the square." Who's she calling out to? Verse 22. She's calling out to the naive one or the simple one. "How long, O naive one, will you love your simplicity?" She's calling out to the scoffer. The scoffer who delight themselves in scoffing. And she's calling out to a third one, fools. Essentially, this little manual that Solomon put together was about 3 guys. A naive, simple guy, a fool, and a scoffer or a mocker. Now, let's talk about them. What's the simple guy like? You know what he's like? Here's what he's like. This is the kind of chair he sits in. And you know what? Every one of us starts out in that chair. Every one of us is naive. Every one of us is simple. That's not a slam against us. That's just where we started. And you know what is most important to remember about that? Is we don't know. And what's worse, we don't even know that we don't know. We're in the dark, and we don't even know it. we're naive. We're simple. That's not a slam against us. That's just where we are. And here's the deal. As you walk through the book of Proverbs, I mean, it's not just for the young who are naive. All of us in some areas of our life probably are still naive. And then wisdom calls out to us. And we leave that naivety and move to one of those other chairs. But here's the deal. You know, you might be 50 years old and you've never heard the wisdom of God, let's say, in regard to money. You know what the world says, but you've never heard the wisdom of God in regards to money. When you hear that, you're no longer naive, you're no longer simple, you're going to be something else. You might be 50 years old and married 25 years, and in reality, you're naive, you're simple when it comes to what God's wisdom is about marriage, or about remarriage, or about ending a marriage. You might have, you know, a dozen kids, but you might be naive and simple about what God says about raising kids. But here's the deal. This is where we are, and as we hear God's word, we get out of that chair. The question is, which chair do we go to? Now, don't connect the dots. Jason was sitting in this thing, wasn't he? Okay. Here's the other chair, or one of the other chairs. And I'm actually going to sit in it, because I've always sat in this one a lot. This is the chair of the fool. You know what a fool is? He's someone who knows, but he's too lazy to implement it. This is someone who heard the truth, but is like, yeah, I should do something about it. Fools have a lot of attributes, and we're going to learn a lot about them. You know, one of the things about fools, and I always think about this, particularly when it comes to raising kids, fools only learn through pain. That's one of the reasons the Proverbs talk about spanking our children. We say, ugh. Well, it's because some people only learn through pain. You know, some guy thinks he can make $1 million in the stock market, and after he's finally gone bankrupt for the 12th time and it finally hit him, he probably realizes through that pain, maybe there's a better way to deal with my money. Maybe there's a better way to make money. What would the scripture say about him? What would the Proverbs particularly say about him? He's a fool. He doesn't know, but it's not because he hasn't been exposed to the truth. He saw the truth. He was just too lazy to implement it. He was too lazy to go after it. But then there's the other guy. And I'll use this one. I don't know if you remember back at Christmas time when I played dress up and was Herod. This was Herod's throne. And I'll sit here too because I've sat here a lot too. This is the scoffer. This is the mocker. This is the guy that knows, you know, he was in the high chair and he heard the truth. And you know what he said? So, I'm still going to do what I want to do. Yeah, I don't care what God says about that marriage. I don't care what God says about that bitterness. I don't care what God says about that forgiveness. I don't care what God says about that money. I don't care what God says about that stuff that I see on my computer. I know the truth. Well, he didn't call it the truth. I know the wisdom of God. This guy over here, he's too lazy to do anything about it. This guy here says, so what? And it's not a so what in the good way. It's the so what, I'm still going to do what I want to do. I'm sitting on the throne of my life. So this is the story that Solomon is presenting. He's saying, hey, we all start off as simple, naive, but guess what? Wisdom calls. See, because this story that's in chapters 1 to 9, it's not just about these three young men that are walking down that main street being called. They're being called by two beautiful ladies. One is wisdom. See back in the verse we looked at? Proverbs 1, verse 20. Wisdom shouts in the street. And notice, do you remember what personification is? You might have to think back to your high school English class. It's like it is ascribing human attributes to this object. And so here's the object. Here's the character quality. It's wisdom. And wisdom is likened to a woman who calls out to these three guys. Wisdom shouts in the street. She lifts up her voice in the square. At the head of that noisy street, she's calling out at the entrance of the gates in the city. She utters her sayings. And she's saying, how long, O simple one, are you going to love your simplicity? You know, and you could repeat it. How long, scoffers, are you going to delight in scoffing? How long, fools, are you going to hate knowledge? Turn to my reproof, she says. Behold, I will pour out my spirit on you. I will make my words known to you. That's what wisdom does. You know, I got bad news for you today. On a few things today, if you're in this chair, you're going to get out of this chair. Because I'm going to enlighten you with some wisdom from God. And the question is, are you going to sit here? Or are you going to sit over here? Or is there another way? That's what this is all about. That's what Solomon was trying to get through to Rehoboam. That's what we need to understand. When wisdom calls, we're going to respond to it. We're going to hear, oh, this is the truth about my marriage. Oh, this is the truth about that grudge I've been carrying. Oh, this is the truth about that money that's in my wallet, in my savings account, in my investment account. Oh, this is what God says about my employment. Oh, this is what God says about my relationships. Oh, this is what God says about how to raise my kids. Oh, this is what God says about how I talk. We're going to be enlightened. And over the next 11 weeks, as we work through Proverbs, and as we talk about it in the community group, see, one of the things we're going to do that I'm really excited about is, now remember, no community groups next week, no 9:30 stuff next week, but one of the things we do and have done for several years now is in September and October, the 9:30 community groups, they talk about the sermon. And so I know it's really hard to ask you to, but remember what we talk about today and what we talk about next week, because 2 weeks from now at 9:30 during the community group hours, you're going to talk about this. You're going to try to digest it and make some sense of it and apply it to your life. And, you know, by the way, if you're not part of a community group, we've got four community groups that meet, and we'd love for you to come and join them. They're all going to be talking about the same thing. So it's not like, oh, this is what I'm interested in and I'm not interested in. They're all on the same page. And so you can just go there. If you don't really fit there, try one of the other ones. And we'd love to have you come and be a part. All of them are open, and all of them would love to have you come. So if that isn't part of your schedule, I'd encourage you, September 9th, come. But here's the deal. We're going to walk through some parts of the book of Proverbs to find out what is God's wisdom. Because the truth of the matter is, here's the deal. Not only is wisdom calling, there's another woman that calls in this book of Proverbs. It's the woman folly. Go with me over to chapter 9. This is right at the very end of this little handbook that Solomon wrote for Rehoboam. And I just want to read a couple verses. There is another woman out there that's on that main road saying, hey, don't go over there to the Christian Servicemen Center where it's going to be, you know, mom's apple pie and, you know, a pool table and a ping pong table and maybe some clean movies. Come on over here and experience who knows what. Look at what Solomon does. And this is just an example of this woman folly. Again, it's this folly that is personified as a woman. In the same way that wisdom is personified as a woman. The woman folly, this is Proverbs 9, verse 13. The woman folly, she's boisterous. She's naive and knows nothing. She sits at the doorway of her house on a seat by the high places of the city, calling to those who pass by, who are making their path straight. Whoever is naive, hey, come on in here. Remember, she's calling to this guy. She's competing with wisdom. Oh, God's wisdom says, here's how you handle your money. And guess what? Folly says, you don't need to do that. Wisdom says, here's how you handle your marriage. And folly says, we ain't in the 50s anymore. Come on. Here's how you raise your kids. Come on. Folly is constantly competing with wisdom. And she's boisterous. She's loud. She's compelling. Wisdom calls out. But just by nature of it, and because of the fact that deep inside each of us is that sinful nature that we talked about a few weeks ago, we listen to folly. And so when we hear and we get out of this chair, we're real tempted to either sit here or to sit here and not go the way of wisdom. Look what she says. Verse 17. Stolen water is sweet. The bread eaten in secret is pleasant. Man, this is the life. Don't waste your life that way. Here's where the fun is. And again, who is she speaking to? She's speaking to those 18, 19, 20-year-old people that now are totally removed from all of their accountability, all of the stuff back home, and they're out there all by themselves. Because in reality, that's the way our life is. I mean, we might say, I could not do that because my parents... Well, yes, but eventually parents, we get over them. I could not do that because you just don't do that. And we get into it and it's like, yeah, but... I mean, people break the law all the time. People do all sorts of self-destructive things. We have an incredible mind, sinful mind, that can rationalize away the most horrible self-destructive behavior. And so when folly calls and we crawl out of the high chair and she says, oh, that's something you can ignore, or that's something you just don't have to do, it's so tempting for us to listen in and start walking that way. Three young men, three beautiful women, or two beautiful women. Whose voice are you listening to? Let me just show you a little bit more here. Interestingly, that woman, wisdom, she calls three times in this section. We already saw that back in chapter 1. She called to all three guys. Hey, naive one. Hey, fool. Hey, mocker. Hey, scoffer. Listen up. Come on this way. See, here's the deal. You might be a fool, but you don't have to stay a fool. You might even be a scoffer, but you don't have to stay a scoffer. yeah, you have to get out of this chair and move to one of these chairs or the alternative. But just because you sat here doesn't mean you have to continue to sit here. Wisdom calls to all three in that chapter one. You might not have listened during your first marriage. Are you going to listen during your second marriage? You may not have listened with that oldest kid, but are you going to listen with that youngest kid? You may not have listened with that first job. Are you going to listen with the second job? How many jobs are you going to have to lose before you say, you know what? Doing my own thing isn't working. Or staying stupid isn't paying off. Wisdom calls. But notice chapter 8. This is the second call. Chapter 8, verse 1 through 5. What does Solomon say? He says, does not wisdom call? This is only the second time he's got this woman calling out. Does not wisdom call and understanding lift up her voice on top of the heights of beside the way where the paths meet? She takes her stand beside the grass at the opening of the city, at the entrance of the door. She cries out. But look at this. This is really fascinating. Verse 4 and 5. To you, O men, I call, and my voice is to the sons of men. O naive one, discern prudence. And O fool, discern wisdom. Listen, for I shall speak. Hey, by the way, did you notice something? Someone's missing. She didn't call to the scoffer. Why not? You're there in chapter 8. Back up to chapter 7, the very end. Someone died. Someone went into one of those places and it totally overwhelmed them. And it totally ruined their life. Verse 26, for many are the victims she has cast down, and numerous are all her slain. Her house is the highway to hell. That's my paraphrase. Her house is the way to Shiloh, descending to the chambers of death. Who was it that went down the tubes? It's the scoffer. Here's the deal, folks. You stay a scoffer, eventually you run out of time. You stay hard-hearted enough, eventually it's like you don't hear that voice anymore. It's like you're dead to it. Look at the next call, chapter 9. Same thing. Wisdom's built her house. She's calling out. She's prepared this food. She's got all this stuff set. She wants you to come and sit at her table and enjoy it. Look at verse 4. Who is she calling to? She's calling out to whoever is naive or simple. Let him turn in here. To the one who lacks understanding, she says, come on in and eat my food and drink my wine that I've mixed for you. Forsake this folly and live. And proceed in the way of understanding. Wow, who's missing? Well, this guy already died. But now when she calls a third time, even the fool's not there. You know, I think what Solomon's doing there is he's sending a signal, folks. You can't stay a scoffer and think that life's going to go okay. Eventually, it's going to cave in on you. And you know what? You don't even have the luxury of being a fool forever. It doesn't work. See, for the child of God, when wisdom calls, yeah, we can go be a fool, and we can actually even scoff, but you can't do that forever. There is a limit to the patience of God. There is a limit to what God will put up with. And that's what happened. Now when that, the third time when that woman is calling out, she's just calling to the people who still are sitting in that chair and haven't responded. You know, all this brings up a question. All this brings up the question of, okay, what is this thing called wisdom? What is it? And to be honest, we're going to spend the next 10 weeks talking about it, and we're not even going to fully scratch all the parts. But I want you to go back to verse 7 of chapter 1. Here's where wisdom begins. See verse 7? And by the way, this is a verse that I'm challenging you to memorize. And one of the things I really want to ask you to do is to memorize a few strategic proverbs. And here's the first one. Proverbs 1:7. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. Fools despise wisdom and understanding. Another translation has it, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Fools despise wisdom and understanding. You get the point. I'm challenging you to memorize that. And so I maybe write it on a card, look at it regularly, and get it into your head and memorize it. Proverbs 1:7. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Also challenging you to do something else. Over the next 2 months, September and October, I'm challenging you to read through the whole book of Proverbs twice. Once in September, once in October. So what is wisdom? Well, kind of in a nutshell, wisdom is doing life God's way. Wisdom is saying, you know what? I want to do life God's way. And when God's word instructs me as to how to handle my money, my relationships, my bitterness, my spouse, my children, I want to do life God's way. That's wisdom. And how does it start? If when I get out of this chair, what's going to keep me from sitting in this chair or that chair? You know what it is? It's the fear of the Lord. It is the reverence for God. See, because the fool, he doesn't care. There's nothing inside of him that churns and says, I've got to have that thing that I heard. It was important enough that God had the preacher preach on that, had the community group leader talk about that, had my spouse mention that to me, had this perfect stranger that I don't even know mention that to me, and something clicked with me, and I thought, that's God's way. And all of us could be fools and just blow it off and say, we don't care. But when I know that this is coming from God, the fear of God that pushed me out of that chair with that new knowledge, with that new data, with that new information on how to do life God's way, said, don't you dare ignore it. And the fear of God said, don't you dare have the audacity to think you're controlling things. Don't be a fool. Don't be a mocker. Yeah, you could be, but don't do it. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of walking that path of wisdom. See, in reality, wisdom isn't a chair you sit in. Wisdom is getting out of this chair and walking the path of wisdom, where I hear from God and I learn from God and I study God's word, and every day I'm saying, oh man, I can do my job just a little bit more Christ-like because now I know this. I can handle my money as just a little bit better steward because now I know this. The fear of the Lord drives me to say, I dare not be too lazy to implement it, and I dare not oppose it. I could be a fool, I could be a scoffer, but boy, that would be disastrous. I want to walk the wisdom way. That's the beginning of wisdom. You know, it's kind of interesting. I want you to go back with me to chapter 9 if you're not there. Because we found out what happened to the mocker. We found out what happened to the fool. What happened to the simple guy? The naive guy? Where is he? He is there, and folly is calling out to him. He's heard the voice of wisdom, and now he's hearing the voice of folly. And folly is boisterous, and she's calling out, and she's saying, hey, whoever is naive or simple, hey, come on in here. To him who lacks understanding, hey, I've got some information for you. I mean, I know how to live the good life. Stolen water is sweet. The bread eaten in secret, it's pleasant. But look at verse 18. Here's the simple guy who is just starting to wrestle and just starting to step out of the chair. He's deliberating. Where am I going to go? He does not know that death is there, that her guests are in the depths of Sheol. You know, it's really sad to sit and think. This simple guy, at the close of this little lesson, he seems like he's getting ready to sit in this chair or sit in this chair. And so she'd be 3 for 3. The question is, when you crawl out of this chair, what's your attitude? What is your attitude? Is it like, I can ignore it, or I just ain't going to do that? I know what it says, I'm not going to do it. What is your attitude? The simple guy, at the end of the story, even though he saw the fool die, even though he saw the mocker die, the simple guy looks kind of inclined to follow him straight to hell. You know what? And that is so sad. Because I think it's true. It's not supposed to be that way. But too many of us do not fear God and do not reverence God and His Word and His wisdom. And we listen to what is out there calling at us. And there's so much noise on the street. We don't hear those little missionaries saying, hey, come on in here and play pool on our pool table and eat ping pong and play ping pong on our ping pong table and eat our popcorn and let's watch our wholesome movie. This is an okay way to spend your Friday night instead of in one of these other places. They don't do that. You know, we're living in a time that is so adversarial to God's wisdom. And I'll just tell you, every one of us need to get sensitized to God's wisdom. And it all starts with that fear of the Lord. It all starts with saying, God, I have to know what you think about this situation I am in. I have to know what you think about this new relationship I have, this new opportunity I have. And there has to be a commitment that says, whatever I find out from your word, from your people, that's what I'm going to do. Because too many of us are tempted because the noise from that boisterous folly woman is just tempting us to ignore it, or actually even oppose it. You can't. As a child of God, God is calling us to walk in wisdom. You're crawling out of the chair. You got another opportunity. Am I going to do life God's way? Or am I just going to treat this as another Sunday, another weekend, let's get back to work tomorrow and nothing's changed. What are you going to do with it? Let's pray, okay? Heavenly Father, I thank you for the opportunity to just get ourselves introduced to the wisdom that is in Proverbs. Lord, each one of us are prone to wander. Each one of us are prone to reject truth. I pray, Father, that today we would have a healthy fear of doing life your way. Every week, every day, there are opportunities that come at us. There's stuff calling at us, saying, come on in. Father, help us to recognize that those paths are the highway to hell. Father, help us to listen to the clear, sweet voice of wisdom, of your word, of your truth. Father, help us to sensitize our ears so that we can hear it. Father, I pray that there are some here this morning that do not have a relationship with you. And so, really, they can't hear that. I pray, Father, that this morning they would hear the truth that Jesus Christ died on the cross for them. That as sinners, we're bankrupt before you, but Jesus Christ died for us. He was the substitute. And I pray, Father, that today they, as they begin to get out of that chair, they would trust in Jesus Christ. And they'd recognize that he took their place on the cross. Father, for we who are believers, who have already made that step of faith, I pray, Father, that this morning we would recognize we got to continue to walk the path of wisdom. And Lord, if we're sitting in any foolish chairs, sitting in any scoffing chairs, in any aspect of our life, whether it's our money, our marriage, our parenting, just even our attitude towards the world, Father, help us to repent and recognize that we need to heed the call. Father, we do not want hard hearts. We do not want indifferent hearts that ignore your truth. So, Lord, this morning we pray that you would draw us to yourself and that we would hear your voice very, very clearly. For it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen.